from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So we're just talking about the NFL Hopeometer, which I know the Athletic said they've got over just under 12,000 fans that submitted feedback for their team. I'll be honest with you, I still don't think, if you had 400 Browns fans submit on this, I don't think it's enough to tell the tale of how optimistic, pessimistic, whatever the Browns are. But you guys can vote right now. At Nick Wilson says, the 35.1% on the optimism for Browns fans for the Hopeometer, that is 28th in the NFL. Is that too high, too low, just right? I just think it's too low. I think Browns fans, I don't know. I feel like we've started to hear from a very passionate but vocal minority. I do think that Browns fans have never been more divided, which is interesting. That's fair. But I think
that's what they captured here. I don't know.
Well, but no, but I think the division is more, I don't want to say apathy, but it's wait and see. I don't think it's apathy, because apathy means you don't care. But I think it is like a, I don't really know how to feel, so I'm just going to kind of wait and see. Which I will admit, I don't ever remember Browns fans being this much in wait and see mode.
I also wonder too, and I don't know when they conducted this, but I do kind of wonder if Deshaun had, I guess I'm just believing that the Deshaun situation is the basis for whatever, however many fans they got to respond, whether it was 12 or 40 or 400 or whatever. Like, I'm just assuming that it's all the Deshaun thing. And so it kind of makes me wonder even more now, like, had he played in the preseason and, like, done something like that kind of got you excited about what this offense could be, would that have changed the results at all? But again, maybe they did this like early on in training camp and it wouldn't have mattered, but I'm just like fascinated. I want the receipts on this. I do.
I think the Cleveland media is far more negative.
That's fair.
On Deshaun,
yeah,
but than if they, fans
but
are.
But if they only asked the media, like if this was just like, let's poll all our Browns media members that we know out there and see what they have to say, then they dropped the ball on figuring out like true results here. Because I agree with you, like, most of us in the media probably would have more of a negative perspective, but I think the fans, like, this is always supposed to be an exciting time. I mean, I just said it, like, back when they were poised to go 1-15, 0-16, you had people calling in saying, like, this team could be a playoff team.
But I just think
this fan base generally is pretty hopeful.
I think fans are just more fungible than we are. We talk about it, at least for us, 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. That's 25 hours. So you can talk yourself into, and I think this has happened, talk yourself in. I thought it's what happened with Baker. Like, there's nothing that happened in Baker's last year here other than him being pouty or a little
and
petulant
injured.
that really, like, if you think about it, the dude played hurt. Yeah. And yet everybody went on the farthest side with Baker. And I think in the end, there were more people in this town that were more than just Baker bros. They were just Browns fans who liked Baker. I think that's, I'm not, it's a different crowd, I do think, but I still think they're Browns fans who like Deshaun and aren't as negative on this. They probably just aren't, I don't know, submitting paragraph long details on how optimistic they are. And I don't think Browns fans are 90% optimistic, but 35%, yeah. Guys, we should have been 35% optimistic when they had a chance to win a game. Not now. That, to me, that just, it, like, reality is you were in the playoffs last year. Reality is you return 99%.
People are saying
this
roster is good enough to be that, like, a championship caliber team if Deshaun plays at a high level.
And here's the thing: reality is the last 4 years have not sucked. Okay, Have they been to the playoffs every single year? Have they been a 10-win or better team? No. Have they accomplished the Pittsburgh Tomlin level of 9-8 or better every single year? No. But we have to, like, I refuse to believe that Cleveland, in a town that just the way this town is, that we don't have the perspective of, it's not where we want to be. It's still not where we've been. This is so much better than where it was before these guys showed up. Do they annoy me with their Ivy League speak? You're damn right they do. Do I wish that they had been in a better position to pull this Deshaun thing off, and that maybe we had more time with Deshaun on the field, so maybe there would have been more time for him to shake off the rust or shake off the excuses? Yes, of course. Has the trade not gone anywhere near what I thought it would be 2 years in? Of course. But the perspective still is, with Joe Flacco, who was so elite down the stretch that nobody signed him to be a starter in the NFL. Like, and you went to the playoffs on the back of that guy's hot streak, a heater he hadn't been on since 2014. Like, the idea that Browns fans are like, nah, bleep it. Nah, this thing sucks. The whole team sucks. I'm okay with apathy. I'm okay with wait and see. But the idea that everybody out there is mother bleeping the Browns every time we talk about them, I think that's horse crap.
Like, I feel like maybe this is where it would have been after, like, the Nick Chubb injury last year. Or even after, like, Deshaun got hurt last year and you felt like, okay, well, that's it. Like, we got no shot now. But then, you see the team build to a playoff berth. You see Joe Flacco do what he did with the pieces that are on this team. You see the defense play really pretty consistently throughout most of the season. And then you see this year, you're returning a lot of that defense or most of that defense with a few tweaks. You see a healthy Deshaun Watson. Nick Chubb's going to come back at some point. Like, I think Nick Chubb now being, like, within the, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel in terms of his return to the field, I think that's enough to get Browns fans more excited about this season or what kind of lies ahead here in the coming weeks, even though he's not going to be out there week one. I just can't believe, and to your point on the Deshaun thing, I do think it's almost like it's like a segmented, like, thirds of the fan base. I think there's probably a third of the fan base that just wants nothing to do with him, and they're like, I hate this guy. Why'd we ever trade for him? He's never going to be good. I think there's a third that believes wholeheartedly that guy, he's shown enough to this. I think there's some fans that truly believe, like, he's shown enough to this point that he's good. And we know we have our answers. He's going to be a great quarterback, and we're going to be fine this year. And then I think there's a third that's a little bit unsure, but that they're going into the season because it's their favorite team, it's the Browns, whatever, that they want, that they're encouraged that he's going to be okay and he's going to play well. So even factoring that in, if it really is like thirds of the fan base, I can't believe that would bring the number down so massively that it'd only be like 35% on what we're calling the hopeometer.
You definitely got dangerously close there to doing Steiner math. But you didn't, and I'm proud of you. You careened just enough to get up. So here, okay, can I give you one more? Because I think at some point, the Deshaun conversation is low-hanging fruit outside of Cleveland. And honestly, at some point, it is low-hanging fruit in Cleveland. If the only take I hear from you is, man, I like the roster, but Deshaun's injury, like, at some point, you got to dig deeper than that for me. At least I'm talking about in town here. But can I give you one more? Look at the teams listed around the Browns, right? It is New England.
Well, Carolina's one above them. Which
But Dallas is two behind them, 19.9% optimism. Dallas has won 36 games the last 3 years. New Orleans is coming off a 9-win season, and before that, they've been pretty much 500 the last 3 or 4 years. So, like, my point is, what if some of this is just... I think fans know how to be a fan when you suck beyond belief because you're striving at a franchise quarterback. And I think fans know when you have that franchise quarterback and you're in the playoffs every year threatening to go to the AFC title. I think fans know how to have it. If you are a 9-8 perennial team or somewhere in that mix, I think that's where hope goes to die for some fans. I think we are more comfortable, and this is not a Cleveland thing. This is a big picture thing. I think we're more comfortable at 2-14 than we are at 7-9, or so about 7-10, or 8-9.
Well, I think fans have been sort of ingrained to feel like that's just the norm in this town in a lot of ways because they were so bad for so long. But we need to look past that. This goes back to the argument we had about, like, expectations for this year. But I'm gonna be honest. the Browns being low on this list was bad enough, or being so low on this list was bad enough. Then I realized when you were reading off those teams that the Cowboys are below them, and now I know that this list is complete BS. Because the Cowboys every year, it's, oh, this is the year for the Cowboys, and everyone's talking about how great they're going to be, and, you know, I know they haven't won a playoff game in forever, but you're never going to convince me that that fan base, as grandiose as they tend to be, is going into this year just like, ah, yeah, we're going to suck this year. Like, there's no chance. They just won the division last year.
I want to read some of these comments, and we're going to do it in that South Park voice, because this is under the Dallas Cowboys. Pessimistic Bryce. As long as the Jones family is in charge, the team is toxic and there's no hope. Any chatter about the team is pointless. I wish it would all stop. Okay, that sounded like a bad Miles Davis or a bad Louis Armstrong. Not great, Bob. My point is, they've won 36 games in 3 years, you slap ass. I know they haven't won a Super Bowl, but God, how delusional do you have to be to three straight years, three straight playoff trips, your quarterback has been worth every single penny they paid him, to be like, ah, this team is toxic and there's no hope. You might be a moron if that's your official take. All right, now it's your turn to do the Facebook, the South Park thing with, I want to hear you on, okay, this says Optimus Mike. Optimus Mike doesn't sound that optimistic to me, but what do you have there?
I always feel optimistic about the Browns when expectations are low.
I don't know. I'm terrible when it comes to like replicating a voice.
I think we've killed the bit.
I think I just need to like, I'm not going to have to actually read something in a voice.
Pessimistic Steve.
I need one more.
What?
I think I need one more.
All right, give me Pessimistic Steve, the bottom line.
I'm just going to read it as myself.
No, that's not the bit.
Just need to grade it real quick.
It's the voiceometer.
God hates the Browns.
All right, give me the second. Give me the second pessimist, Steve, because I'm assuming, because they split these up, these are different Steves who are pessimistic. Am I fair to say that?
It's probably the same Steve.
They split it into two because they only got three guys to respond to the hopeometer.
They forgot about the Browns, and then they were like, you know what? Now we need to add the Browns on this list. We forgot about them. Let's just find four people we know off the street and ask them how they feel about
all right,
the Browns.
For the purposes of this bit, second pessimist Steve.
No.
Yes.
No,
Come on.
You do it this time.
No, you're better at this. Voice. You're better at this. Keith, can we agree?
I know I'm not better
Spencer's
at this.
Better at this
I
than I
just told you. Natural. When somebody tells me to go on the spot and do a voice that I already did, I can't replicate it. It's never going to work.
You've delayed enough.
Your previous co-host was really good at impressions, not me.
How about this?
I'm not that guy. I am here trying to be Spencer German, anybody else.
What if you do the they took her jabs? What if you do that and then use that to get into it? That's a gateway. That's 100% how
work.
Talent
nope,
works.
Yes,
100%. Go ahead.
Nope, not going to happen.
Now you're infuriating me with your inability to commit to the bit.
I'm just going to filibuster until we got to get to a break. So
I got 5 minutes.
At some point, Andy will come in here and
filibuster
say, hey,
away, Kucinich. Come on.
So, Nick, what do you think about the Saints being below the Browns on this list?
I don't know. I'd like to hear what Pessimist Steve had to say.
What do you even think about the Steelers being ahead of the Browns on this list?
I'm really more interested in Pessimist Steve right now.
Well, I'll read it as Spencer German reading Pessimist
Steve. No, it's not as good. I'm going to need Pessimist Steve. No, they took our jobs.
I think you should just do it.
No, I already did, and it wasn't good. You're so much better at this than me.
No, I'm definitely not.
That's how Vanessa gets me to do anything, by the way. She just says, oh, I'm going to take out the cat litter because you're just so much better at it than me. Come on, give me Pessimist Steve.
I know my strengths and weaknesses, Nick. This is not one of them.
That's debatable, but why don't you give me Pessimist Steve?
No, it's not. Everybody in this room and outside
Keith's,
of it.
Keith's looking at the computer screen. Yeah, hey, Mac, look at the wall. Mac's not even looking at you anymore. Look, I'm not
why
even looking.
Why don't we let Mac try it as no, a
absolutely
Tucker
not.
Jobs guy?
Absolutely not. Look, I'm not looking right now. All right, it's eye muffs. I got eye muffs on right now instead of ear muffs.
It's not going to happen.
Come on.
I've been a Browns fan for too long to be optimistic about anything. Plus, Watson hasn't shown hardly anything since the trade. That was Pessimistic Steve.
Boo! My hopeometer for your career just went in the lower than 35%.
Well, you know, one day ChatGPT will be sitting across from you and you can ask them to do Pessimistic Steve in the South Park voice.
I've been a Browns fan for too long. I just keep going.
That's just Southern Steve. That's just Southern Steve. That's all that is.
Plus, Watson hasn't shown hardly anything since the trade. Ooh, gee willikers. At least I tried. You tried nothing. If you put up a picture of Jerry Jones while also like playing some of the other voice, they'd be like, that's what that guy sounds like. He doesn't sound like anything other than a boozy Southern billionaire who might have some skeletons in the closet that we're going to find out about after he meets his maker.
We found out about some of those skeletons, but there's definitely a lot more.
No. There's the skeletons we know that have gotten
out.
He's
got like an ego from Guardians of the Galaxy size cave of skeletons. Just filled with skeletons of all the crazy things that he's done.
And here's the thing. We've only like entered the beginning part of the cave. Like, guys, I've gotten to a point where like different time, different place. Jerry Jones grew up and spent a lot of his adult time in eras where everybody just walked around like they weren't going to get caught. And the problem is, eventually...
Now you get caught.
You get tagged.
You know what? This is kind of why, like, the whole Dan Snyder thing, when that was playing out, Dan Snyder was a terrible owner and a terrible person. We can establish that.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that his, like, rebuttal to all this was like, well, if you take me down, I'm taking you down. I was like, go ahead. Air it all out. That would be fun for us to just to see all the dirty laundry exposed from all these guys.
The most disappointing part of that all is that was basically...
Deliver.
Well, no, because it was a negotiating tactic.
Right.
It was like... So it was the single greatest promise you could make, which is I've got dirt on everyone. And then you used it to get an extra $100 million?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of a chotch move.
And then, and the owners were strategic in the way, like, because they made Jim Irsay, like, the face of it all, where it was like, all right, Jim Irsay, his laundry's been aired, so he has no shame. Make him the one that goes out and says, we don't like Dan Snyder anymore. We need to run him out of this league.
It would have been funny if Dan Snyder's like, let me tell you about what this guy does with certain substances. Dan, I'm sorry. I think we already know
that's why they did it. They were smart.
Yeah. You know, though...
It was very strategic in that way.
Very strategic. Send Irsay out there. He's got nothing to lose.
Everybody already knows all the things that he's done.
Yeah, we do. That really is. And by the way, continues to do.
Yeah, he just doesn't care.
Like, I do think, like, you and I were talking off the air about something else. We were talking about empathy. And... I do think it's interesting. One of the things that causes people to lose empathy is when somebody...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
He has copious amounts of money. But every time I see Jim, it's like, that's a dude who never left the party. And there's something so... So I do find that incredibly sad. Like, like the idea of no matter how much money you have, no matter whether, you know, he was born into a Colts empire and honestly, he just had to stay out of the way as that thing literally vested to be a billions upon billions upon billions of dollar enterprise. At the same point, it's not worth that genetic hurdle he's got to clear. It's not worth, like being stuck in that, hey, I'm young and a party boy when you're 60. Nah, I'm sorry. There's not enough billions on the planet for that.
I think the money thing's interesting too, because I think it, like, the how many zeros matters in this? Like, when it comes to owners and
because
billionaire owners, nobody has empathy for. And then you hear about, like, millionaires who are oftentimes, like, in the sports world, like players, and you think the same thing, or like even like celebrities, like famous musicians, actors, whatever. You're always like, oh, I don't have any sympathy for them. They're rich. But then, like, they do these documentaries. Like, Steve McNair has had this documentary come out, and you realize, like, some of the things that he went through, and you're like, well, this is really sad. And so then you do get empathy for them, because you're like, you know, a million's not really that much money. But it's when once you get to the billions, then I think is when you lose the empathy.
So I'm rewatching How I Met Your Mother with Ness. And in a real lapse,
I never got into that, but my wife said the ending's terrible.
That's a basic take from your wife. Do better, Brittany. I'm not just going to call her out on air for it. Do better. But they used to have the hot crazy scale, and about the line
I've seen that scene before. Right. Yes.
I feel like empathy awful scale is what we use, and the problem is it's not a straight line at a specific angle. The empathy margin for error, we practice such selective empathy in this country that you can box yourself in to being the worst person in the world. Like, you said something earlier off air that I 100% believe in, which is you should practice empathy and try to practice empathy with even people who you might think are monsters in one way or another. That was
my overall point.
Yes. Because empathy it's about you. All right? Judgment is also about you. So which one you choose speaks volumes about you. So I think that's interesting then to go, how selective, like, big picture. I know we're now getting way out there. But, like, if you can't feel empathy for somebody who's got very real substance issues, who's thrown a lot of really good things away because he has billions, kind of think you might be in the wrong. Kind of think you might be the a-hole in the scenario.
For a second, I thought you were trying to break the voice out again. Got a little deeper.
Hey,
Joker,
empathy. Jeez, I really can't get out of Prospector Sam. But no, I think we practice judgment all the time, but we do not practice empathy at large. Now, that being said, I have no empathy for Dan Snyder, who I think is a knob. Jerry Jones, like, there's just something old school.
Jerry Jones tries really hard to get people's empathy when he's, like, shedding tears over the fact that he hasn't won a Super Bowl, and, like, I would do anything to win a Super Bowl. He's gushing
We need Tim Robinson. You sure about that?
And you're like, oh, you know, you just feel so bad that the Dallas Cowboys. No, I don't. Jerry Jones. I don't feel bad for you.
I mean, okay. Now we're kind of getting to the root of it. There's nothing sympathetic about Jerry from that specific way, because you can look at the last 30 years as karma. You can look at a guy who wandered into an excellent purchase with the Dallas Cowboys at the right time, by the way. He buys that team a decade later. That's $1 billion investment versus $100 million.
He also ran off, like, the one coach that's been successful under him. What? And, like, they wouldn't let him into, like, their ring of honor or whatever the hell it's called until last year. And then they finally mended fences, and it was still seemed like it was a little awkward between them.
A little awkward, I think, is the understatement. But my point is, like, that's exactly right. Like, he did the toughest thing to do, which is you retired a Hall of Fame coach, hired the right guy, traded your most popular player and allowed that to happen, and built a team of a decade of a dynasty, only to take it away from the guy that he gave credit to because he himself was not getting enough credit. And he's tried.
Is it safe to say that Jerry Jones has evolved?
No, that's the opposite
of
what
Jimmy
I'm saying.
Johnson?
No, I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying the problem is Jerry's ego is more important. Jerry would rather be a 10-win team that loses in the first round of the playoffs because it's his handiwork than win a Super Bowl that anybody else gets credit for. That's everything you need to know about Jerry, and which point, by the way, that becomes sad. That's the guy that never leaves the party. It might not be pills or booze or anything else. It is his own ego in need to validate his own ego. So, yeah, right there. A guy who I think is about as unempathetic as you can get in terms of he's a rich, boozy billionaire with a lot, and I mean a lot, of skeletons in the closet. And you can still go, man, that guy's still trying to show his dad up. Like, that dude's an 80-year-old man that has to be the reason that you win, and instead he's the reason they don't win the Super Bowl. That's, dude, at some point, therapy in 80 years should have taken care of this 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, if you had just tried to be a better person. If you had just tried to evolve. I shouldn't say better person.
Well, that's
person.
Why I said, did he show last year that he's evolving by actually sort of, again, trying to mend fences with Jimmy Johnson?
No! He's, listen.
But it feels like that was him succumbing to the fan base being like, maybe you should just respect this guy finally.
And he made it weird because his ego was involved. Like, I don't think you get credit if in the 11th hour of your life you go, yeah, I really should give the guy credit that was completely responsible for the success of the team
that
I bought.
Isn't that the point, though? Isn't that the point? Like, when you're in that point in your life, you sort of sit back and you're like, yeah, I should have forgiven that person a long time ago. Now is the time. You'd rather they just take that to the grave and not forgive them?
No, okay, if we're talking about life, if we're talking about family, yes. You should always forgive somebody. You could have always forgiven them earlier, even if you just didn't have the time to do the work. If we're talking about sports drama, listen, I would love to own the Cleveland Browns. If I had ever invented Facebook and bought the Cleveland Browns in 2012 instead of the Haslams. Guys, every day I would have been at the highest mountaintop you can possibly be. But at the end of the day, I would be like, well, I make billions of dollars on this, right? It's a tremendous investment. And in the end, I'm not playing the games. So I want to win, but the Browns' success is not an indicator of my value. And Jerry Jones makes it important that the Cowboys' success and lack thereof is because of his value.
Okay,
that is narcissism 101.
So what you're saying is right about Jerry Jones, but I also think, like, from a fan perspective, don't they want an owner that more so, like, their identity is wrapped up in the team? Like, they care so much, maybe to an extent, because I do think, like, when the Haslams were meddling and decision making and all that, that was not a fun time to be a Browns fan, and I get all that. But wouldn't you rather have an owner that's like so invested that they're like crying over the fact that they haven't had success and, oh man, I just really want to see this team win and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get there versus, which I think the Haslams have kind of done in recent years, especially with the Deshaun thing and all that, versus like having the owner who's just like, I don't need this team anyway. I'm a billionaire. And they just kind of rub that in your face all the time.
Now, you want to know why? Because the Haslams the last 4 years have been more stable and more successful than anybody else in Browns history, unless we go back to Mickey McBride in 1946, and it still hasn't been enough. There's still people who take pot shots at the Haslams because you haven't won a Super Bowl yet. In the end, I think fans can say, I don't want a Jerry Jones. I do want a Jerry Jones. I don't want an Ursay. I do want one. Fans just want to win a Super Bowl every year. And if you don't do that, it's not good enough. I think that's the reality of the situation. Lack of empathy. This is a good segment. I feel like we really got through some stuff.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.